starting today, I'm going to be starting a series called The Lamb's Room of Fellowship. And it's been a long time in preparation. I received instructions quite a few years ago at the Ugly Building. Most of you know what I'm referring to there. That's where I developed, developed is a good word, where I could learn to monitor the ear of my spirit, that place where the Holy Spirit communicates with us. You know, when you're speaking in an unknown tongue, it's not your mind speaking to God. You know, 1 Corinthians 14 tells us, when I speak in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. That's the Holy Spirit giving the unction. But your mind, it says my understanding at that moment, my understanding is unfruitful. But God didn't intend for your understanding to remain unfruitful. See, your understanding, the mind, which includes the soul and the emotions, it's intended to be the servant of your spirit. And this goes all the way back to that old teaching from years ago, servants upon horses. You know, Solomon said, I saw a horrible thing. Someone should tell the king. What is it that you saw? When you first read it, you go, what? I have seen servants upon horses and princes walking. And you go, okay, first time I read that, I must have felt something like the ones that came asking Jesus about fasting. Teach us about fasting, okay? You don't sew a new patch onto an old garment. You don't put new wine into old bottles. And they're standing there going, thank you. What? Well, that's like that. I've seen a horrible thing. This thing is so horrible. Someone needs to tell the king. What is it? What did you see? I saw servants upon horses and princes walking. And you go, what's so terrible about that? Well, it is terrible. It describes the whole Christian world, if you want to know the truth of it. For the most part, most even Christian ministry is being led by the mind of man rather than by the Spirit of Christ. And even though they love God, and I say they, I'm sure a lot of what I have done, and Gary, how do you know this? Because he told me. Those of you that have read the face-to-face ones, there was a time when he said to me, he says, you have run way ahead of my spirit. In your zeal to serve me, you have got yourself involved in all kinds of things that I never asked you to get involved, that I never told you to get involved in the first place. So now you've got commitments to all these things. And I saw an image. You know, he talks. We don't really speak in words. We speak in pictures. And I look kind of like that guy in Gulliver's Travels. You know, I mean, I'm standing there. I wasn't laying down, but I was standing there. But I had these ropes going off in all directions. They were tied to me, and they were tied to these big boulders. And he said, those ropes represent your plans, your agendas, what you think you should do to serve me. And you've got yourself so tied up, you can't hardly do anything now. You try to go to the left, and there's a rope holding you to the right. You try and go to the right, and there's a road. I can see a few people nodding. He says, now if you'll allow me, if you'll learn how to listen to me and obey me, everyone say obey. See, there's no such thing as selling out to him without at the same time bowing to obey him. But it's really hard to obey someone you can't hear. It's just really hard. So I see now why he's going right at the end of this year of selling out to him. And many of you probably can hear God better than me. I'm not the pinnacle of being able to do this, but I did go through the. I remember when I couldn't. I remember the process, and he told me to keep really good notes, and I did. Things that I learned along the way. And he said, you're going to be sharing these at a later date. And this is that later date. Now, just so you'll know, these things, I'll have to go back and check the dates. Yeah. These are about the same time, I think a little bit after what you've read already at the face-to-face pages. Some of them might be before, but it was during that same season where I was learning to hear his voice. Let me start this by saying, if you have not already heard Dave's two-part message, Distinguishing God's Voice, You need to hear it. If you have heard it and never got serious about practicing it, then you might want to listen to it again and practicing it again. Because what I'm talking about is I listened to that until I knew that I understood what he was talking about. Learning to monitor the ear of your spirit, or said another way, distinguishing his voice. And I would go to the ugly building and I would practice it for hours and days and weeks and I don't know how long. Then I would hear him and I would write things. Some of them you've already read in the face-to-face. And then I would get busy. Life would come. Mark 4 would kick in. The busyness of daily affairs, trouble, persecutions, afflictions, stuff. And it's amazing how you can just go, you can be hearing him so clear. And you can get busy with the affairs of life, fall out of prayer, let's say it that way, and not really intending to, you know. But it's amazing how quick the flesh will thicken back up. I heard some chuckles. I must not be the only one that's found that to be the truth. And then it's almost like you got to start again, but it's not really starting again, you know. But you start off a little better then, because at least now you have hope because you knew you heard him before. And you kind of got to go through that again. But where we're going now into revival, yes, sir. See, you're in John 10, right? Back up to, hold your place, come back to John 5. We're not going to have revival without functioning the way Jesus functioned. John 5:30. This is how he functioned. Other people teach you don't need to do this. They're not my Lord. Jesus is. And I'm going to do it the way he did it. And if you can teach something different if you want to, but I'm not going to follow you. I'm going to follow him. And this is how he said he did it. John 5:30. I can of mine own self do nothing. Let's stop right there. Everyone have a big sigh of relief. He's not expecting me to do this, okay? He's not expecting me to do the miracles. Hallelujah. Okay, good. Now let's read on. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. So how did he do it? Did he just, this is just what needs to happen. I'm just going to start this ministry and we're going to go here and we're going to go there and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. Or did he spend time in worship and fellowship and prayer himself to the point he would hear what the Father said? And you back up just a little bit. Sometimes you hear, sometimes you see. Back up to verse 19, same chapter, John 5:19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself. There we go again. But what he seeth, the Father do. And you're going to find that's the case. The Father speaks in pictures. I remember Yan Ji Cho, when I first read his book many years ago, on the fourth dimension, he had this statement, and I found it to be true. The language of the Holy Spirit is visions and dreams. Now, he does speak. He brings you, you can have words, and we're mainly going to be talking about that at this point. For me, it started off mostly as words. But as you develop in this, you'll find out that he speaks in pictures more often than he does words. And the reason is real easy to understand. Pictures convey a lot more information than words alone. You know? All right. Texting, to me, is the lowest form of communication on planet Earth. I mean, because I can't see your face. I don't know if you're being sarcastic. I don't know if you're kidding me. I can't see if the veins in your neck are bulging or not. Yeah. So audio carries more information than just text. But then video carries more information than audio. So to see and to hear. And mainly we're going to start off with hearing. Okay, so distinguishing God's voice. And just in a real... yes, sir. Before we do that, he's going to read these verses. John 10, starting in verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. to him the porter openeth. Now notice, and the sheep hear his voice. Now first off, get yourself in agreement with God's word. Are you his sheep? You hear his voice. Let me just say this too. But God is not withholding his voice from you. The radio stations all over Tulsa right at this moment are not withholding their broadcast from you. Even as I speak, radio waves and television waves, whatever they're called, are flowing through this room. And the only reason we're not hearing them is we're not tuned into them. That's the same thing with God. God is not withholding his voice from you. We're not hearing because we haven't been taught how to hear him. We don't know how to monitor the ear of our spirit. Thank God for Pastor Dave Roberson, who paid the price in the early days. He's sitting right over there. I'm not doing this to flatter him, but it's just the truth. I remember he says, "I thought God called me because of my massive intellect." You know, he says, "No, I found out what it was. I just had this stubborn streak that he needed." Because Dave had committed to prayer in those early days, and he worked 8 hours at the mill, so he's going to pray 8 hours. I mean, this is not, you know, you ever try to pray in English for 8 hours? He'd run out of stuff in about 20 minutes, you know. Bless Uncle Jack. Bless this. You know, about half an hour, you run out, right? So he didn't know what else to do. He'd made that commitment. What am I going to do? He says, "I don't even know if it was legal to pray in other tongues anytime you wanted to at that time." He said, "But I had to. I had to decide that you could." So he just began filling up that time in prayer. And he learned these things without really a mentor other than the Holy Ghost himself. But I thank God that he passed that on to us. Passed that on to us. But number one, you are his sheep. Get over yourself. You are going to, I'm just going to prophesy it for a moment. Because you'll see he says it here in a minute. You're going to become expert at hearing his voice. Turn to somebody and say that. Say, I am going to become expert at hearing my Lord's voice. Yeah, that's the truth. That's the truth. So Jesus says, "To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leads them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep," that word "own" is really important, "he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." This has always been a favorite passage of mine, but after I saw an interview a couple of years ago with a real shepherd. This guy has spent his whole life as a shepherd of sheep, not a pastor, not a minister, but a shepherd of sheep in Israel. I mean, that's what he grew up doing. And he spent his life as a shepherd. He says what modern Christians don't know, that everybody there knew when Jesus said that. He says, "Shepherding, sheep herding has not changed very much in all this time." He says, "We still do it pretty much the way today that they did it then." He says, "And during the day, each shepherd has his flock. Some of them are big, some of them are small. And the sheep follow him." But he says, what people don't know is that at night, all these shepherds will converge to a place where we've built a kind of a corral, and it's for protection, you know. So we can put all the sheep in there, close it up for the night, and they're pretty well protected, and we can get some sleep. He says, now the next morning, when it's time to get the sheep here, you've got all these sheep that belong to all these different shepherds. Well, how do you sort them out? He said, well, it's the easiest thing in the world. The first shepherd, he just comes up and he begins to talk. And as soon as they hear his voice, his own sheep raise their heads and look. They recognize his voice. Notice where it says his own sheep. They recognize his voice and they come to the gate and they follow him out. And the rest of them won't follow. Then shepherd by shepherd by shepherd, each one of they flock, they know their shepherd's voice. That's us. There's so many voices in the world, even religious voices of all kinds, you know. But there's only one shepherd. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he sent the Holy Spirit to bring us his voice. to bring us His voice. He is our shepherd, and we follow Him and no other. You are His own sheep. If you'll allow me, He feeds you from His hand to your mouth. Let me say it another way. You're His favorite. Let me say it another way. You're the one that when you feel scared and alone and it's dark and lightning and thunder, you're the one that He picks up and puts on His lap. Said, it's going to be okay. I'm with you. Glory to God. That's relationship and fellowship and, oh man. Well, to sum up, Sue calls me the master of synopsis. To sum up Dave's two teachings. Now, this summation is not good enough. I'm just reminding you, what I mean is go listen to it again. Because it's only two messages. It'll change your life if you get it into you. In essence, it's this. He says now, he would school us. He'd say, okay, I'm really going to synopsize. He says, begin speaking in other tongues. Okay, so out loud where you can hear your own voice. So, I know your tongue would sound different than mine. It doesn't matter. Then he would say, now stop. And listen. And you should be able to hear those tongues still going on. At first, I couldn't, be honest with you. But I practiced, and I got to where I could. Now, they'd taper off after a while. So then I'd start again. He says, that place where your soul is hearing, it doesn't understand the tongues, but at least it is hearing the tongues. And those tongues are not being created by your spirit. Where you're monitoring right there is that place in you where the Holy Spirit is creating the words and your spirit is hearing them. And your soul is monitoring that connection. That's why it's boring for you when you pray in other tongues for a while. Even when you get to where you can hear the tongues, it's still boring. Because your understanding doesn't know what it's being spoken. Said, well, this is great. Come over to this ugly building before dawn. Bring my coffee and my nicotine. I mean, bring my coffee and my Bible. Smoking like a freight train in those days. Pray. Fine. Couldn't even hear the tongues hardly at first. And then finally got to where I could hear the tongues pretty regular. And it's still boring. Well, this is great. Still don't know any more than I did yesterday. But see, you got to have no quitting sense. Because Dave says now, he says that what's being communicated there, and here we could go to 1 Corinthians 14:2. He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. No man understands him. Howbeit, in the Spirit, he's speaking mysteries. Amen? And then Dave says, now, how many of you think you're explaining mysteries to God? No, God is explaining mysteries to you. And the communication is happening spirit to spirit. If you want verification for that, just go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We don't have time to teach that again today. We teach those things which the Holy Spirit teacheth, comparing spiritual with spiritual. Now we receive not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Why? That we can know the things that are freely given to us of God. See, these things are communicated spirit to spirit. Your spirit, I'll tell you right now, your spirit man, your spirit hears God's voice just fine. You ought to write that down. Let's do this. Turn to somebody. My spirit man hears God's voice just fine. My soul soon will. See, they were talking about the Lamb's room of fellowship, where your soul begins to understand the mind of Christ for your life. It's not communicated spirit to soul. It's communicated from heaven, mind of Christ, by way of the Holy Spirit, to your human spirit. But as your human spirit begins to understand the mind of Christ, then it's really your spirit that turns around and starts revealing the understanding. Now, sometimes it's the Holy Ghost, like when a vision comes to Peter on the rooftop that day. Sometimes the Holy Ghost just comes directly, and he has to kind of shake up your world, you know, fall over in a trance. I thank God I didn't have any of those while I was driving the trucks myself. I think everybody in Memphis was glad, too, that all of a sudden the truck didn't cross the lanes. Anyway. All right, so you monitor the ear of your spirit, and at first it's just tongues. Well, that doesn't help a whole lot, but at least what's going on there, you are becoming familiar with that place on the inside of you where the Holy Spirit communicates with your human spirit. Whew. Now, over time, and it took a while, I do wish I'd kept a better record of this part. I don't know. I know it wasn't the first day, and I know it wasn't the first week, but I don't know whether it's 2 weeks, 3 weeks, but it was a while. And Tim, to be honest with you, had gotten me one of those little micro cassette recorders. They're like obsolete nowadays, you know. But then that was high tech. And he told me, he says, now when God speaks to you, you need to record that, you know, okay. And so I had that with me all the time. But to be honest with you, you know, when you do this one day and you didn't hear nothing, and you do it another day and you don't hear nothing. And at first I had it right out there ready. After a week or 2 weeks, it was still in the briefcase. I had a little briefcase I carried then. But that day that I heard him, suddenly I was doing the same thing, pray in tongues, shut up, listen, hear the tongues, they quit. Pray in tongues, shut up, listen, hear the tongues, then they quit. Over and over and over for days and weeks. And it got to the point I didn't even, you start losing hope. You know, what is that? A hope deferred makes a heart sick. I got to where I wasn't even, when I got there, I just sat down and started praying. I didn't even get the recorder out of the briefcase. But then one day I began to hear him. And it shocked me. I was hearing English. I was going, where is that recorder? Digging through that briefcase. Where? What? Where is that thing? Get that recorder out. And I began, and you don't have to do it this way. Now, I'm giving you my journey, okay? For me, I wanted to record it. One of the main reasons was Tim talked. He warned me ahead of time, be sure you capture it. You don't want to lose it. And I'll just tell you right now, because there's been times when I couldn't, be driving the car or something. Of course, now you can with a phone. You can, you know. You can record. You think you're going to remember it? Yeah, okay, I'm getting lots of witnesses. Okay, all right. You won't. And if you do remember it at all, it will be diminished. You need to get it fresh. I don't care if you got to pull the car over on the side of the road, pull off somewhere safe, do something, capture that. Same thing with dreams that you get at night. I mean, have a way to do it within the first minute when you get up, you know, walk to it, you know. Okay. So I began to hear him. And then I began to hear him. And then the doubts come. Just know that. I don't know. It might would happen if an angel appeared even. I don't know. But I can tell you this. As soon as I did begin to hear him, I'm driving on the way home. There had to be 1,000 devils in my car. Why, you think that was God. You're a blithering idiot. Now you're hearing voices. The next thing is a padded cell. You didn't hear God. You're making that all up your own self. That's just you. Am I getting any witnesses from anybody else again? Okay. No, it is God. The Bible is true. The Bible is true. And he said he's not going to leave us as orphans, and he didn't leave us as orphans. He sent the Holy Spirit so we don't have to go through life. And I'm talking about with the understanding, always guessing and wondering what his will is. And I'm going to go ahead and insert this. I love the inner witness. It is true. The number one way that God leads his children is the inner witness. But primarily that inner witness, the one that says you are a child of God, Romans 8, it bears witness with us so that we are the children of God. That's mainly to do with your walk of righteousness. When you, is it okay to do this or not do this? That compass on the inside is pretty good. Well, not pretty good. It's perfect. It's got the Ten Commandments written in it. And you're about to tell a lie. That inner witness, God's communicating with you. You're about to steal something. That inner witness. But I've not found, now this may just be me. I've not found the inner witness to be so reliable when it comes to things like buying a car. Do I buy the red car? Or do I buy the blue car? Or do you want me to get a van? Now, he'll let me buy anything, but I don't want a car. I want the car. You understand me? And there's people that tell me, and the inner witness, I mean, it is the number one way that God leads his children, but I don't think it was his plan for it to be the number one way. I don't find Jesus saying that in John 5:30. I do this by the inner witness. Really quiet in here now. I do these things by the witness. If you'll go to the left, so I go to the left. That's not what he said. It's not what he said. What I hear. It's what I do. I'm trying to, so many, as a teacher, I have to be careful not to jump on certain, I want to, all these things. Okay. We're already halfway through. The inner witness, you better trust it. Trust the inner witness as you're learning this. Trust the inner witness after you learn this. The inner witness is really there. He's going to talk to you as a child of God because you are a child of God. He's going to say, no, no, no. No, you don't get involved with that sin. No, no, you don't watch that program. No, no, no. You know, you're a child of God. That's what the inner witness is. But the inner witness is not. See, the inner witness is really your spirit. It's your spirit. Well, the inner witness is your conscience. It's that it's got the Ten Commandments and more than that written in it. I mean, that's the DNA of the new nature. And it's a perfect guide when it comes to walking in righteousness. That's your spirit. And Dave taught us on the born again trail. He said, listen, that born again spirit is wonderful. It knows things your mind does not know, but your spirit is still you. You're a person. And that spirit on the inside of you has no way really of knowing things outside of you. But the Holy Spirit is another person. And he knows a lot of things. He knows everything that's outside of you. He can give you addresses. He can give you names. He can tell you what car to buy. He can tell you what car not to buy. He can tell you all of these things. So the inner witness is wonderful when it comes to morality and righteousness and holiness and all of those kind of things. And just sometimes, you know, you're about to make a terrible decision. And did anyone ever make a wrong decision thinking it was right? Okay, I am at the right church, all right? But the Holy Spirit knows it's wrong, even though you think everything looks perfect. See, this is where I've had trouble following the inner witness on things. Yes. You know what picture I just saw? The ropes. The ropes and me tied off to all those boulders. Every one of those came by the inner witness. And my mind. My mind going by the inner witness. Gary, did you have peace when you started those? I sure did. Yep, this is what Jesus wants. Now I could just start picking programs. I'm not going to do that. Well, no, I'm really not. Thought about it. Because I don't want to step on any toes. See, if God tells you to start a program, that's one thing. For you to just start something on your own, you've departed from Jesus' method. He says, I do it because he told me to do it. I really love the amplified version of that. He says, as the voice comes to me, I render a decision. That's where we want to live. All of those ropes, all of those, quote, Gary works that I got involved in, I felt peace about each one of those when I started them. I thought that was just exactly what God wanted us to do, you know? And boy, most ministry. That's how it's done. That's how it's done. Well, this is what should happen. We're just going to do this. Yet James tells you, even in business, you shouldn't be that way. Even in business, you know, I was in business for years before I was, you know, I grew up in a business family. We had a construction business. And I mean, the way of business is, well, we're going to go into a certain town. We're going to stay there a year. We're going to do this and that. We're going to make some money. And James says, you should never do that. And we're all going, what? No, he said, your attitude should be, if the Lord wills, first it says we will live. And I go, well, that's pretty fundamental. How basic is that? How much Lord is that? if the Lord wills, we live next year. If, Selah, pause and think about that for a minute. But then, if the Lord wills, we will do this, or we will do that. Well, Gary, following, quote, and I'm saying the inner witness, I don't really want to say it that way. I just felt peace about each one of those little programs that I developed on my own. I felt peace about it. I didn't feel conflicted at all. And each one of them was producing good things. But they were not what he called me to do. And if I didn't get them snipped, you know, and if you, those of you that's read that, he says, if you'll allow me, I'll begin cutting those ropes. And you'll be free to do what I really called you to do. Is it making sense? All right. So the inner witness is great. I love the inner witness. When it comes to, it is the number one way. I mean, 1,000 decisions a day, maybe 1,000 an hour come by that inner witness. Keeps you from lying, keeps you from stealing, keeps you from doing a lot of things. But when it comes to your call, we're not going to turn there because we'll be out of time. Acts 16 again. You can't even point to the written word as justification for disobeying his voice. Oh, I'm going to have to go to the word there now. See that? Okay. Go to Mark 16 and Acts 16. I hope we get into one of these. In Acts 16, we have the words of Christ in red. You could chisel this over the door of the every church I ever attended in the denomination I grew up in. You could chisel these words, verses 15 and 16, over the door. Go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go where? Go where? Into how much of the world? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Do we not have chapter and verse in red letters, the Lord himself saying, go ye into all the world? Do we not have that? Come over to Acts 16. And this is Paul and Silas, and they had finished whatever assignment they were on. They don't know what to do next. We'll pick it up in verse 6. Now when they had gone, and forgive my pronunciation, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia? What? What? They were forbidden of the Holy Ghost. Let me just ask a question. Is Asia in the world? What? What? We've got a conflict here. Jesus says, I mean, is the Holy Spirit, is he in conflict now with Jesus? We got chapter and verse. Go ye into all the world, all the world, all the world. Phrygia is in the world. We're going to go preach it. And the Holy Ghost says, no. Not only no, I forbid it. And the reason he forbid it is because Jesus was forbidding it. See, there is a, you cannot point, I love, the, anyone knows me knows, I love the written word. I do. But you can never point to the written word to disobey his voice. You have a living Savior who is alive and well. His name is Jesus Christ. He is the Lord God, head of the church. And there is no other. He speaks, we follow. That's it. You got that? Now, He forbade them to preach the word in Asia, but after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go down to Bithynia. They were thinking about going there. I try and meditate on this. They don't know what to do. They're, what do you want us to do, Lord? Paul and Silas. I see them sitting around a campfire at night. And where are we going to go tomorrow? Maybe Silas says, you ever been to Bithynia? No, I never have been there. Boy, I was there once. I'm telling you right now, I ain't nothing but a bunch of heathens. I bet you that's, see, this is how Gary came up with those programs. That kind of thinking right there. Hey, I tell you, that's probably what we need to do. We need to go to Bithynia and start a street ministry. We're going to pass out tracts and cast out devils and preach the gospel. Nobody else has ever had thoughts like that. You know, whatever it is. But the Spirit suffered them not. There is a timing to the mind of Christ for you. Jesus is alive and well. Later on, they went to Asia. Later on, they went to all these places. It's the timing of the Lord. He is a now living God. He has a voice, and we're His sheep, and we follow Him. And then so, verse 9, this time he speaks in a vision. Remember, what I see, well, here's a vision. Verse 8, they passing by Mysia came down to Troas. Verse 9, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. The reason I laugh right there, see, I'm that guy. God has to get it simple for Gary. It's not good enough for me to have I felt led moments. I have felt led into really big ditches before. I was just sure it was God. I was just sure. Oh, follow the peace. I had peace. Do you have scripture? I have scripture. See, I'd have been the guy, without being able to hear the voice of God, I'd have gone to Bithynia. Well, why are you going? Got chapter and verse. Do you have peace about it? Yes, I do. But it wasn't God's will. Well, I've done that, see? And I'm like this. I don't know whether it says a man of Macedonia. I don't know whether the guy appeared in the vision having a t-shirt that said Macedonia on it. That's about the way God would have to get it across to Gary, because Gary's not the quickest knife in the drawer, okay? Quickest knife. See, right there, I proved my point. He's not the sharpest knife in the drawer. Okay, I proved my point, did I not? Okay? So God's he's got to get it low, you know. A man of Macedonia, and even that's not enough. Gary's going, wonder what he means by that. So then in the vision, the guy says, come over into Macedonia and help us. I said, I think I got a clue as to what God wants. That's about the way he has to do it with me. But it's worth the price. What did this same Paul say? Did you know? Now, I love Silas, but did you notice it didn't appear to Silas? I don't know what Silas was like. He may have been a great fellow, but I do know a few things about Paul. I thank my God. I speak with tongues more than you all. He was doing that all the time. That's how his spirit, he was monitoring. He learned how to monitor the ear of his spirit. And not only, it's not just the ear, it's that place in you where those visions occur. It's that place in you where you see and you hear and you follow him. Good stuff, isn't it? All right. Hallelujah. It's not okay to point back at the written word. Now, I love the, if you don't have a word, then the written word is your word. Did you hear that? I have had times where I did not hear the voice of the Lord, but I would see a brother or sister destitute of daily food. Now, I did not say they were destitute of their Cadillac payment. Okay. But if they're destitute of food, it says food and clothing. You have a word from God. You don't need a special word from God there. Feed them. It doesn't necessarily mean give them money. It depends on if they're on drugs or not. But it says food and clothing. You don't need a special word for that. Amen? Okay. That's enough. Get in my dust. Now? Okay. I'm going to go ahead. I don't know how long this will take, but I have some. These are different than the face-to-face ones. These are things that I heard from him in the early days, doing exactly Dave's message, distinguishing God's voice. Then, and because he told me to, I kept notes of certain things that I learned along the way. I think these will be a help to you. Okay? Some of these are embarrassing to me. I've pleaded and begged. and cried in agony. Can I remove those? No. Because it's good for you. Okay? Good for all of us. So this happened. I was praying, doing exactly this message, doing exactly what Dave taught on distinguishing God's voice. And I heard this. I grabbed the recorder and began to speak. This is a short one. It says, "Hear not my spirit in vain, for he has come to bring my mind to you, says the Lord. Hearken unto him as you would unto me, for his words are my mind. Break not forth into action, nor ministry, without the counsel of my spirit, says your Lord. These first instructions of mine are brought to you with my blessing and with arms outstretched as toward my beloved son, my beloved brother, and my beloved friend." Now that was the end of it that day. I'm going to give you some notes. There's enough right there to change your life. Right there is enough. And you got to understand, this was, I'll tell you when this was, it was 1999. This was a long time ago. This was before the Born Again Trail. This was, there's so many things he said here that I did not have really much of a clue at the time. Later on, Dave taught us those things, okay? But when he says, "Hear not my spirit in vain, for he has come to bring my mind to you, says the Lord." This is exactly, I know it now. This is exactly what he meant when I've not come to leave you as orphans. In fact, let's look at that real quick, John 14. There may be people hearing this that hadn't heard so much foundation as most of us in this room. See, and again, we have many messages on this passage, many messages. This whole chapters 13, 14, 15, 16, Jesus is telling the 12 he's leaving the planet. He's telling them, "I'm leaving. I'm going to go be with the Father." And they're all distraught, like, "What? What? You're leaving? We left everything to follow you, and now you're leaving? Is this thing over? What are we supposed to do?" And so he's introducing the ministry of the Holy Spirit and how his ministry is going to continue through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So he says, verse 15, John 14, 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you." Of course, we're living on this side of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of us. Now notice verse 18. "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." And that word comfortless there in the Greek is O-R-P-H-A-N-O-S. And it literally means an orphan. I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. I'm going to come to you. But how's he going to do that? By the agency of the Holy Spirit, this comforter that he's sending. So here when he said it to me, he said it exactly the same thing. He just said it in different words that would impact my brain. And he says, "Hear not my spirit in vain." Or let's say, "This comforter that I've sent you, Gary, when you hear him, pay attention." Pay attention. "He's bringing you my mind." Well, that's exactly what he said in John 14. "He's bringing you my mind. Gary, hearken unto him as you would unto me, for his words are my mind." This is how we do it. You hear the Holy Spirit, or you see by agency of the Holy Spirit visions, and you do that. That's how we get it. He has not left us orphans. Okay? He says, "Break not forth into action or ministry without the counsel of my spirit, says the Lord." Now, y'all know later on, I had already broken forth into all kinds of stuff. I had all kinds of stuff going. You don't even know what the plans I had in my mind were at the time. And I don't want to get into that either. But we could pick a lot of things. You know, just a lot of, there's all kinds of good stuff to get involved with. You can spend your whole life letting your mind tell you what you should be doing. And that's not the same as hearing him telling you what you should be doing. Well, we're going to follow him. Okay? Okay, so let me read you a few notes. So here's the notes. I could say note to self, I guess. Or notes to you guys. I learned today that I can monitor the ear of my spirit with my soul for longer periods of time than I have in the past. Before, I would pray in tongues for a while, then cleave my tongue to the roof of my mouth and listen with my soul, that means my mind, to hear the tongues continue. But by that method, the tongues would always stop after a short time. Today, I prayed out loud in tongues for a while, and then continued to let my tongue form the words, but silently. I found that the flow of tongues continued by this method, and I could keep on monitoring the ear of my spirit with my soul for as long as I wanted to. Something I didn't know. Something I learned on my own. Do you understand what I'm saying there? The way Dave taught us on those messages is pray in tongues. Stop. Listen. I can hear those tongues, but pretty quickly they taper off. But I found out I could do that and then continue my keeping my tongue going, but virtually silently, you know. It's got to be, you know, it was enough to make the connection where it's real. And I could hear them. I can just continue to hear them. And I could monitor it for an hour, 2 hours, and I got to where I would. However, the tongues never did change to English until I would stop moving my tongue and I would just listen. After a very short time, probably less than 15 minutes in all, I began to hear those words above typed in English. Okay? So that day was about 15 minutes. Some days, trust me, it was a lot longer than that. In the beginning, it was a lot longer. A lot. I'm going to go ahead and read this because he said I couldn't take it out, so... Note, this is real personal. I don't know why he has me. You sure I can't take it out? Thank you. Gosh, this is personal. I have asked the Father to restore emotional love to me. I have become too much like the elder son, trying to substitute my works for the Father. In the place of true heartfelt love and adoration. Today I had a breakthrough. Times of singing in tongues were followed by times of singing in English. Waves of emotion would come occasionally with tears. I would become so overwhelmed with love for the Father and Jesus that I would just choke up and words would simply fail me. A chorus kept coming today. Jesus, my Lord, my Master, my Savior, God, and King. I long to touch you, Jesus. Please spend some time with me. Those of you that know me, that's not me. Maybe it is me way down there somewhere. That's not Gary very much. And I was singing it. And I don't say, Davis commanded me, Gary, don't sing. But at the ugly building, I could sing. You know. Isn't that something? I had a breakthrough that day. It changed my life. I've not really ever quite been the same since. Okay. Then I made another note. It said, although the words from the Lord were brief today, the importance, the reality of this fellowship is awesome to contemplate. This is no less than one-on-one, person-to-person, face-to-face communication with Jesus Christ himself. Think of the implications if this level of fellowship can be developed fully. For a bondslave whose heart's desire is to do his master's bidding, nothing could be more rewarding than hearing his master's voice. Pretty simple, isn't it? I think we have time for the next one. This is another short one. My comments are about five times as long. The very next one was, it's a different day. The Lord said to me, here's what I heard in English, "Fear not, fear not. Be not discouraged at your difficulty in entering in at this time, says the Lord. For I know that this is a new realm for you. Be comforted. Be assured that my spirit is an excellent teacher. You will become expert at hearing my voice as I have spoken. Be comforted. Be at peace. Know that I am pleased with your efforts." Did you hear that? Now see, I'll finish reading what he said. "Know that I am pleased with your efforts. Be not discouraged. Be not dismayed. Continue to seek me in the rooms of my fellowship, says the Lord." Now, for that to have the impact it needs to have on you, you got to understand this has been going on for weeks. I've isolated myself. I'm praying, listening, and I feel like the biggest dummy on earth. You know, I come in, I watch Dave empty wheelchairs and do miracles, and I'm just trying to hear the voice of God, you know. Trying to start, and I feel like such a... And I'm smoking at the time. Get over your religious self. I felt like a sheep-eating dog, you know. Feel like the worst Christian at the prayer center. Maybe was. Don't know. Some told me. No, anyway. Not many. Few. They're not here anymore, by the way. That's why he was telling me this. He knew I was getting discouraged. I have a pretty strong, stubborn streak myself. I really do. My O.R. Carpenter put into me, I have no quitting sense, is the way I like to put it. I heard Norval say that one time, too. It must be something in the country. Have no quitting sense. You know? But I was getting discouraged. And thank God he came and encouraged me. Now, let me read you some of these notes, and we'll close on this one for today. Is this okay with you guys? If this is the year of selling out to him, this is the year of really obeying him, bowing. I see myself bowing in a new way. Well, I'm going to have a hard time doing that if I can't hear him. I'm going to have a hard time. See? All right, so here's my notes. Now listen to this. There is a definite permitting of these words to flow in English that is up to my will. Once I begin to hear them, I find that it's really up to me whether I let them flow or not. It seems I can cut them off, let's just say stop, at any time by an act of my will. Now, there's chapter and verse for that. We don't have time to go there, but 1 Corinthians 14, where it talks about the prophets, let them wait in turn. The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. You don't have to just stand up and blurt out. If the Lord, he may be really telling you something, but if there's another prophet up there talking, the Holy Ghost does not interrupt himself. And he's telling you, you can, by an act of your will, hold that until the appropriate time and then speak it. But let me tell you what I found out. If he starts saying stuff to you that you don't want to hear, I found out you can stop it. Somebody else has been heard of that's right. I'm not the only one. It's like prophecy. Same thing. You can prophesy many times. I almost tried to cut him off recently, that one he did to me at the conference about next year being the year of power. When I heard what he was saying, I wanted to stop. I didn't want to be on record with that. So just know, there is a permitting of this. You can stop it if you want to. Okay. Another key, these are my notes. Another key seems to be the ability to keep my mind quiet in order to monitor the ear of my spirit. Now, stop for a minute. All praying in tongues works. All of it. Remember, I had no quiet time in the early days. What I mean by that, I couldn't go off to the ugly building and just pray. I had to drive the trucks. And my mind had to be occupied with all it. Trust me, when you're driving an 80,000-pound rig through Memphis, you better have your mind on what you're doing. Okay? And but all I had was that kind of prayer. But Dave talks about the longer you pray, the quieter you get. That's what we're talking about now. where you have time to get quiet. Now, I'll tell you later on, when you develop this and you really locate the ear of your spirit, you don't have to get so quiet. You'll find out you can hear it pretty regular, right in the middle of the mayhem. I love Jesus. That's a good compliment. I love Dave's teaching. What he was teaching about Jesus that time when Peter cut off that guy's ear. You know how our modern preachers, we have no baby crying. That'll disturb the anointing. We can't have no coughing over here. Get that person out that's coughing. That disturbs the anointing. Dave's going, oh, come on. They're arresting him. There's a sword fight. Peter cuts off the guy's ear. But Jesus didn't go, would everybody please be quiet so I can hear God? Right in the midst of all that, he gets the guy's ear and puts it back on. Amen. But what we're talking about now is the learning early stages, and it really, really, really helps to get quiet because you're trying to monitor that one place. So let me read that sentence again. We're about to finish here for today. Another key seems to be the ability to keep my mind quiet in order to monitor the ear of my spirit. This reminds me of when I first started trying to spend extended hours praying in tongues while driving the trucks. In the beginning, my mind would drift to the point I would suddenly discover that I was no longer praying in tongues. The only thing there was to do at that time was to tell the Lord I was sorry and begin praying again. In time, praying while driving got to be such a habit that I would instinctively begin praying in tongues as soon as my hands grabbed the steering wheel. This is similar but a little different. I have become accustomed over the years to praying long hours while at times I purposely let my mind think about this and that. That's what we call maintenance prayer, but it still counts. There is no such thing as a wasted hour praying in tongues. The mysteries are being imparted to our spirits, regardless of what our minds are doing while we are praying. Monitoring the ear of my spirit for English, however, does seem to demand the attention of my mind. As I presently understand it, I am standing, listening with my mind to what the Holy Spirit is saying to my human spirit. My mind must pay attention in order to detect when the tongues change to English. To be able to hear the words spoken in the Lamb's room of fellowship, I cannot let my mind drift all over the place while I'm praying in other tongues. Of course, the mind is not real excited about having to stand there and monitor tongues that it does not understand, waiting until the words become English. To put it simply, my mind gets bored because it does not understand what's being spoken in tongues. It does require discipline to keep my mind at the listening post, at the ear of my spirit. I have found it helpful to spend the first hour pretty much just praying in tongues without necessarily monitoring the ear of my spirit. The reason? My mind begins coming up with all of these things that I need to do during the day. I'm going to add here, Tim taught me to write down each item that the mind brings up. Oh, I put in brackets. Thank you, Tim. He's the one that taught me that. The first day, he says, Gary, don't oppose your mind. God made your mind to do that. It's supposed to remind you of the stuff you need to do today. He says, don't fight it. Just write it down. And if you write it down, your mind will kind of acknowledge, okay, Gary heard me. He heard that. Okay. I'm not going to have to remind him every 5 minutes he wrote it down. But now if he doesn't do it today, I'm going to talk to him again tomorrow. Okay. So after all, God gave us our minds to help us function in the natural world, and it's designed to remind us of things we need to do. It seems that once I write it down, the mind regards its duty to inform me of the item as now being accomplished. It does not continue to remind me of that same item, at least not today, once I've written it down. This process of praying in tongues for the first hour and writing, everyone say first hour. This is the year we sell out to Him. First, say it again, first hour. Some of you haven't got it yet. One more time. Say it just for Gary. First hour. Okay, thank you. This process of praying in tongues for the first hour and writing down the things to do that the mind brings us helps to calm my mind down. Once that written list is completed, I find it much easier to keep my mind at the listening post of my spirit. It will still drift if I let it, but it seems much easier to discipline once the written to-do list is accomplished. Now once, and of course an added benefit, once my prayer time is concluded, then I already have my to-do list for the day written down. And this helps me be more productive. Now let me read this one. Oh, sometimes I've noticed that in between the communications, such as while I'm transcribing the tape, my mind will think of another thing to do even after I thought the list was finished. Well, that's not a problem. Just write it down. Keep your list within arm's reach and write it down. Then when I'm ready to enter the room of fellowship once more, my mind is even more calm about what needs to be done today. Did you get that? These are practical things. We're going there. We're going to function exactly the way that Jesus said he functioned. We're going to hear what the Father says, see what the Father is doing, and we're going to do and say those very same things. Because this is the year of selling out to him. This coming up year is the year of power. Did you get anything out of that? Hallelujah. More like a class instead of a church service. All right, you're dismissed.